Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the church service on Sunday, July 26th, 2020.
Is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he had also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of our Lord."
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, From our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, but I want you to know that each pastor has a favorite theologian. Now, as you might well expect, Martin Luther is regarded the undisputed champion here in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I love Luther. I love his writings. I continue to study what I can of his vast body of works. I often refer to them in the preparation of my sermon text. Thanks be to God for Luther's faithful treatment of the Holy Scriptures and his no-nonsense approach in addressing all those false and unbiblical teachings that gave rise to the Reformation. Where would the Christian church be today without Luther's uncompromising stance? I dread to think. And I also dread to think what my colleagues might say when I make this admission to you. My theological hero is named Franz Prieper, who succeeded Church Father C.F.W. Walther and became the president of Concordia Seminary in 1887, in which he served until his death in 1931. While Dr. Prieper's writings are not as extensive as that of Luther's, his three-volume set entitled Christian Dogmatics, which I am proud to display to you now, because this is among my most prized pastoral possessions. His presentation of Christian doctrine is second to none. His presentation is fine, it's perfect, and the most faithful I ever read. But with that said, it immediately took me some time to consider myself one of Prieper's kindred spirits. While I was at the seminary, one of the first things I was assigned to read made me question why these books were even required reading. Franz Prieper writes, "There are only two religions in the world." Two religions? There's Christianity. There's Judaism. There's Islam. There's Buddhism. Just to name a few. How could a renowned theologian say there are only two religions in the world? Admittedly, I was a novice, and I was tempted to put down my book right there. But I'll make this admission. I didn't have the courage to challenge my professors, so I kept on going. And I will admit to you, I am glad that I did. You see, Prieper went on to explain that there are many religions in the world, but only two teachings. One teaches that we must work hard to gain God's favor. The other teaches that God must come to our rescue. The other, of course, is Christianity. And Christianity stands alone in acknowledging our total helplessness before a holy God, while every other religion on the planet insists that we must do something in order to gain heaven. Suffice to say, I am no expert on world religions, but I know enough to know that Dr. Prieper is right on. Islam has its five pillars. Buddhism has its eightfold path. There's always something which must be done to be right with God or to fulfill our karma or whatever the case may be. Only Christianity does not prescribe some type of activity that its followers must perform in order to improve themselves. Christianity alone makes it very clear that when it comes to matters of our salvation, it is God Almighty who does the work. And any efforts we make to improve our status typically worsen our condition. To our gospel readings for today. They contain a parable that speaks of a treasure in a field, as well as a second parable that speaks of a pearl of great value. Now, in both of those parables, the main character sells everything he has solely for the purpose of obtaining that item of value. Now, just as there are two types of religion in the world, there are also two ways in which you and I can look at these parables. One way assumes that we can do something to achieve our salvation. The other way assumes that only God himself can save us. Now, first, it helps us to know that both the treasure in the field and the valuable pearl are Christ himself, the grace of God that is revealed to us in his word. You're the one who discovers the treasure. You're the merchant who finds that valuable pearl. The parables tell us we must sacrifice all that we have to have the things of God. Or do they? A rich young man once asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. In response, Jesus told him, "If you would be perfect, go. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." You hear it? Jesus asked this rich young man to do exactly what the parable calls for. Sell everything in order to gain treasure in heaven. Now, do you recall if the young man passed the test? Well, here's what the scriptures tell us. When the young man heard this, he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So the young man failed, right? And why is that? He loved his possessions more than he loved God. How sad indeed. Now, what about you? Are you ready to get rid of everything you have to inherit God's kingdom? Now be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Honest people will admit that their stuff is more important to them than God. And what does that tell us? That our understanding of the parables is wrong. It's completely wrong. You see, when Jesus gives us a teaching that is impossible to keep, he keeps it for us. Do you recall what God told Moses to tell the people in today's Old Testament reading? The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So who's the treasure? You are. I am. We are. We are that valuable pearl. God in Jesus Christ is the one who sells all that he has in order to purchase us. Now, I want you to consider the price that God paid to purchase you. Jesus gave up his throne in heaven. He took this human nature onto himself. He lived in poverty under severe oppression. When Jesus described his earthly life, this is what he said. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And ultimately, what little he had was taken from him. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the soldiers stripped him naked in order to add shame to the torture he had already endured. What God does that for you? The God who values his lowly and disobedient servants above himself. The God of whom the Apostle Paul writes, God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Just like that man who paid all he had to buy that field, Jesus paid all that he had for us, even his own life, to ransom you and me and the world from sin. God would spare nothing, not even his only son, to redeem you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. While even the very presence of God the Father was taken away from Jesus, something you and I will never have to endure because Christ endured it for you. Never will we have to speak the words that Jesus did in our place. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's how valuable you are to him. But have you ever wondered why? Well, the psalmist writes of us, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The Old Testament prophet Isaiah writes, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags." And what does that tell you? We are born in sin, and there is nothing we can do to change that sinful status. The Apostle Paul writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We cannot escape our sinful condition. My friends, many religions tell you what to do. One religion tells you what you cannot do. Many religions make impossible demands of you. One religion takes what is impossible and makes it possible for you. There is but one God and one Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved. My fellow sinners, aren't you glad Aren't you glad that God still considers us precious in spite of our sinfulness? He gave everything that he has to redeem us and purchase us from sin. Of what worth are you to God? The Apostle Peter writes, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the holy, precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Not gold or silver, but something far inherently greater and of eternal value, the shed blood of the Son of God, because that's the price God paid for you. And best of all, my friends, we know that Christ's payment was sufficient. We know that Jesus did not remain in the grave, but rose on the third day. And his resurrection assures us that we who believe are indeed God's most valuable treasure. His resurrection assures us that we too will rise from the dead on the last day. My friends, it assures us of this, that we are God's precious people, and we will enjoy God's presence forever. Live by faith today and look forward to tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. For into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.